Hey, fellas.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
So, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. You ready to go to the Wild West?
Sure, but why is Brian here?
I'm glad you asked, Ben. Mike and I have noticed that things are really off with Sasha lately.
Off? How so?
So remember those cookies that Sasha made me?
Yeah. I was a little jealous you got cookies, but yeah.
Well, after I offered to share them with you and Brian, she was very insistent that I was the only one to have them, as both of you were busy.
I'm never too busy for cookies.
Exactly! That's what I told her, but she wouldn't let me share the cookies with you guys. But that's not the only thing. It was how she was saying it. It was very weird and unlike the Sasha we know.
Well, be honest, man. You'd be changed a bit too if you'd survived the teleporter explosion.
True, but there's more.
Oh?
Yeah, apparently overnight Sasha knows a lot about Super Sentai. I mean, full-blown intellectual conversations worth the knowledge.
That does sound concerning, as you've always been our main source of Super Sentai knowledge. But with how much you post about Super Sentai on Facebook and Twitter, dude, I could become a Sentai expert.
Look, I know this may sound like a joke, but when Sasha is name-dropping Captain Marvel as an Aqua Ranger from Go Ranger, amongst many others we wouldn't expect her to really know anything about outside of my post on social media, it's fairly concerning.
This is all so weird, guys.
I know, right? But hey, look, you guys are about to go do Wild Grust Rangers. Let's talk about this later.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Fine by me. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. It is I, the White Ranger, Michael, along with the Black Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Right, it's me, your boy, Ben Taylor, the man who invented the ballpoint pen.
Really?
Yep.
See, we went from sandwiches to ballpoint pens now.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And today we are doing Wild West Rangers Part 1 and 2.
Yeah,
and
we are.
And Ben has already face-palmed and messed up his hair.
Yeah, we are.
So with that, we're going to hop right on into it with Wild West Rangers Part 1, everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run-through, which we begin at the youth center as Tommy shows the guys a cactus, and then he goes on to gift it to Kim. The cactus disappears and there's now a green goo. The others go to the command center, but Kim's morpher puts her in a time hole. Kim ends up in the Wild West and we see Bulk and Skull as carriage robbers. And then the white stranger appears to foil the robbers. Adam and Rocky's counterparts are on the carriage. Kim wakes up after fainting, and she is so confused. She heads outside the saloon to realize she's in the late 1800s Wild West version of Angel Grove. Zed sends the cactus monster to Angel Grove while Goldar goes to the time hole to go back in time. The Rangers morph into action, and there was a putty fight. Back in 1880 Angel Grove, the counterparts check in on Kim. This is also the first introduction to Aisha's counterpart. Bulk and Skull do a stick up, and the cactus monster neutralizes the Rangers in modern time. Back at the saloon, Kim tells the others her story, and then putties arrive and ransack the town. Goldar and the Cactus gets through the time portal. And at the command center, the Rangers work with Zordon to figure out what to do. To be continued, dot, dot, dot. So, Ben, that was part one. When did the greatest Ranger of all time, Mr. Adam Park, appear?
The first sighting of Mr. Adam Park, the greatest of all time, was at 6 seconds after the intro credits.
So highly acceptable.
Highly acceptable amount of time, yes. And my AKA for this part of Wild West Rangers, part one of Wild West Rangers, is this season cares not for time paradoxes, because there's time travel all over the place, and boy howdy. So, episode one. How do none of the Rangers see the teleporting cactus? Like, I'm 90% sure Aisha was actually looking at it. Right?
Like, hey, look, a cactus. Hey, look, green goo. Yeah,
how do they not hear the lightning? Because it's a lightning strike that comes down to get it, right?
Maybe it's just one of those things where Zed has his magic do it discreetly, even though maybe, aesthetically lies on screen, it's shown.
All right. So Billy is an actual, factual genius. The man built a flying car in his garage. Right?
Yep.
The theory is he built the turbo powers, even though that's never actually confirmed. They just show up. So what does the actual factual genius do? He just sticks his finger in this weird green goop.
This isn't going to do anything bad to me, and we'll talk about green goop. We'll be talking about goop real soon.
Yeah.
In a few episodes.
Yeah. One might even call it ooze. but like that's like lab safety 101, right? Don't touch a thing with your bare hands if you don't know what it is.
Yep.
So they go to the command center. And Kim gets teleported back in time. And it takes everyone a moment to realize Kim's not there, which is a really nice little moment of acting. It's like that beat of like, oh, where's Kim? All right. And then Alpha's like, it's like, he says it like it's the most normal thing in the world. He's like, oh, a teleport signal got pulled into a time hole. It's like, I'm going to have a cheese sandwich for lunch. Right? Like, and my note is simply, excuse me, what? Why does Tommy need to ask where Kimberly is? Why is Alpha not simply reacting to the fact she didn't teleport? Right? Instead of just being like, oh, whatever. And B, no, it didn't, right? Because she hit the teleport button, everyone else teleported away, and then whatever happened for her happened like 10 seconds later. That's not how the teleport... Could you imagine if someone had walked around the corner at that point, right? And just seen like the beams of light, and then Kim stood there like...
What? Awkward.
Also, why are none of the other Rangers like, why were we not informed this is a possibility? If it's this blasé that you're expecting it to happen, we've been doing this for a season and like most of another season.
At this point, you're at the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did you not think to warn us? Like, where's the OSHA? Come on, man. Health and safety in the workplace.
Wait, Zordon has health and safety in the workplace?
You say that, but he is, as I've said before, he has proven himself to have the best of intentions with his Rangers, right? It's not like he's sent, like he always tries to give them as much information as he has once he has it, right? Like,
yeah.
He's several times he's like, well, if you ever want to leave being a Ranger, just, I don't know, kick Alf in the head or something. I don't know.
That would be an interesting way to leave the Rangers. You know what? I'm done.
Bow.
And the Warp Rover just kick Alpha with a spinning kick.
I mean, it's how Kyle O'Reilly got kicked out of the Undisputed Era. And now I'm sad.
As we say this on the day when Adam Cole finally tells us why he did what he did.
Apparently. Anyway. So Zen and Rita have a plan. And it's a good one, right? Send a monster back in time to destroy the Rangers before they were born. There's only two small problems with this. One, Zed made it sound like he's had this plan in place for a while. But Alpha said these time holes appear randomly, right? So how can this actually be a plan and not a spur of the moment kind of, we'll just do this then?
Maybe
and second of all,
go ahead.
Time paradoxes.
Going to Zed's plan, I mean, maybe it is a legitimate plan that he's always kind of held in the back pocket.
He's just not had the opportunity to do it.
Exactly, yeah. Because like with Alpha saying it's a random occurrence, yeah. Zed goes, well, we know these exist. Why don't we have a plan in place for when such a moment occurs?
Yeah.
So
the reason why time paradoxes are a problem in this case, right? This isn't even the big one. You send the Cactus Monster back in time to destroy the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
And he does so. Then you get to 1994 and there are no Rangers. So you don't need to send the Cactus Monster back in time to kill the Rangers. But then there are Rangers. So you need to send the Cactus Monster back in time. Time travel is never handled well in Power Rangers outside of Time Force.
And it should be noted.
And even then, it's not handled well in Time Force.
And it should be noted because in this stretch of episodes that we've done so far, like with just Brian, some with just Flash, some with all of us as a group, we've had Rangers back in time, two-parter. The Wedding, three-parter.
Yeah.
Return of the Green Ranger, three-parter, which involves time travel.
Yep.
You have Storybook Rangers, two-parter, and then you have Wild West Rangers, two-parter.
Yeah.
Three of these multi-episodes involve time travel.
Yeah, and they're never done well.
Yeah.
Pulling back the curtain a little. I'm currently, as we're recording season two, in the process of watching Power Rangers Samurai and its sequel, which everyone tells me is called Super Samurai, but I will merely call Samurai Season 2, because Super Samurai sounds bad. And I watched the very first episode of Season 2 of Samurai. And just in block letters in our Facebook chat. I went, oh, so I guess we're just ignoring our own internal continuity then. And there's a lot of that in these time travel episodes, which I'll get to in a minute. So when Kim is in the past and she uses her communicator, it should contact Zordon because Zordon is there. We know Zordon is there because he's in the next episode, right? Instead, it just doesn't work. And that might be because Billy ends up like bouncing the communicator off satellites or whatever, right? But in that case, the government should be able to track where the Power Rangers are. But they don't.
Well, in the show, they don't. In the comics, they do.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But as we have covered before, the comics are not continuity. They are their own continuity.
Yep.
And now that, and A, that's been confirmed by Hasbro and Co. So
yeah,
we know that the booms, it's called the Boomiverse, I think they say it's called anyway. It just bothers, and again, this is what I'm talking about with like internal consistency, right? So we have the biggest paradox of the episode, right?
Yeah.
So there's this TV shorthand, right? That when you go back in time, your ancestors are in the city that you're in, right? Because you live in that city, right? That right. It's a TV kids shorthand. The problem with that is Rocky, Aisha, Tommy, and Adam are from other places. They're not from Angel Grove. So using TV shorthand, their ancestors shouldn't be in 1880s Angel Grove.
Yeah. But yet again, at the same time, there may not have been a Stone Canyon.
But that's not the point, right? Tommy's not even confirmed as being from Stone Canyon.
Yeah.
We don't actually know where Tommy was from originally, I don't think. But the point being, right, if you're using it, it's the same thing that I had with when I did my review of season 3 on the columns. And I pointed out that rewinding the world 10 years doesn't just make Rocky, Adam, Aisha, and Tommy and Kat younger. It makes them be in other places, right? Like, they're just not there. Like, Kat's in Australia, right? Like,
yeah, and not only that, but I think that was one of the big things about Back in Time, the two-parter a few episodes ago, was Zed made all of them kids while they're in class.
Yeah.
So it's like...
But does he... I don't think he actually changes the timeline. He just makes everyone young.
Yeah, he just reverses the polarization of the Earth. Yeah.
Multimodal reflection sort of thing. But yeah, it's a huge time paradox. And it's just like, oh yeah, Abraham and Alicia, Rocco and William would be there. The White Stranger and I'm trying to remember...
Miss Alicia
wouldn't be there. Also, Miss Alicia would be probably a slave because she's a person of color. But that's far too dark for 1994 Power Rangers. She would not be a free woman. Let's put it that way. Also, a woman dressed like Kim showing up in the 1880s would cause a riot. Admittedly, some people react to it a little bit later
right before she passes out, because I'm pretty sure she's got blood pressure problems, because she passes out a lot in this season, mainly when she sees Tommy, let's be honest. But yeah, it's not. You just take one look at her and you're like, woman, change. Also, and I feel bad for bringing this up. I really do. The accents are so bad. Like, at least, like, Bulk and Skull aren't trying to do an accent. They just go more gravelly because they're, like, baddies. They're actual baddies, right? They're trying to rob people.
Yeah.
But, like, Johnny Young Bosch and Aisha Tyler and Steve Cardenas and to some extent then David Yost, but he doesn't have quite as many lines as the others. And definitely JDF's what a cowboy accent is horrible. It's horrible. Kim faints a lot is my next comment. Oh, and I have a comment. It's just Ernest, period. Juice, period. Saloon, period.
I like how they're like drinking orange juice out of shot glasses. that was you got to admit though, that was a nice little touch. You know, doing the OJ
just out. Call of it shot. A saloon. Just call it a saloon. So then he got back to the command center and Zordon's like, if Zed's monster destroys Angel Grove in the past, it won't be here in the future. And I just wanted someone to turn around and go, thanks, Captain Obvious. That's how causality works. Though the way that Power Rangers treats causality, if they destroyed Angel Grove in the past, we'd probably be time forced by now. And like, it just says, yes, that period of time where the putties were dancers.
like, oh my God, it's like, it's for whatever reason, I think whenever they decide that, because obviously they're filming the movie during this time. Because mm-hmm. like we're now in that stretch of episodes where they're filming it in Australia because they're filming the movie and they had to finish up the season. Why is it that every time the putties appear now, they're doing some different little dance number as they come in? It's like, this was the most random thing that they did. And why did they do it at the end of the season? Like, it doesn't make sense, man.
Then I have a note that Billy says, why are the 1880 Rangers wearing their Ranger colors? They're not Rangers.
Oh, Billy noted that?
No, I said that.
Oh.
Why is William wearing blue? Why is Miss Alicia wearing green? Why is Walker wearing red? And why is Abraham wearing black? They're not Rangers. Yeah. They're not Rangers. They're not Rangers. They're not Rangers. They're not.
This is true. But also keep in mind, in episode one, when Jason, Trini, Zach, Billy, and Kim were selected by Zordon, they were also wearing their Ranger colors. They weren't Rangers either. Same with Aisha, Adam, and Rocky when they were first introduced. They weren't Rangers, but yet for those episodes we had them, they were still wearing the Ranger colors. So.
There's a really nice moment, a really nice callback, where when Kim is asked what her name is, she calls herself Calamity Kimberly. It's a really nice little callback and pretty much confirms that someone on the Power Rangers staff has a fetish for the Wild West, because there's like five episodes to do with the Wild West in season two alone.
Five?
Yeah, Calamity, Kimberly, these two, and, well, it's not necessarily the Wild West, but...
I thought Calamity Kim was season one.
Was it season one?
Yeah, that was season one.
I thought that was this season. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But the point being, between that, these two, and is it Return of the Green Ranger, which is set in the 1800s?
No, that's 1700s. That's colonial.
Okay. Right. So a guy runs in from the left of screen and warns about Bulk and Skull, right? But then Bulk and Skull enter from the right of the screen. And you're like, that's really bad directing. That's just not... You should have the guy running away from the direction that Bulk and Skull are coming from. Right? Right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, we've watched enough Westerns to know that.
Well, not just that. It's just... common sense, right? A person would be running away from the thing they're afraid of, not towards it.
Yeah.
So to get to the time hole, the Putties have to fight the Rangers. And Goldar and the Cactus Monster have to fight the Rangers. Why? On previous evidence, Zed's teleporter is really accurate because he can drop Putties and drop Goldar right on top of the Rangers whenever he wants, right? So why not just teleport into the youth center instead of teleporting like a mile away and having to run across a field?
Maybe he follows the War Act, where you're not allowed to touch hospitals, schools, and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe.
But if you're a monster on an evil sorcerer on another planet, why would you be worried about Earth's war treaties and stuff, you know?
Let me get this whole sequence of the Putties riding into town in the 1880s on horseback with like cowboy hats on and cowboy vests and quite literal gun belts with guns in the holsters.
Yeah.
And Goldar gives this big speech. He's like, destroy Zed, blah, 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 stuff. And all I'm thinking is, does Goldar not realize he's stuck in 1880 right now?
Yeah. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm looking at the thing real quick.
Yeah.
From the Bukala escape.
Yeah.
Up to Blue Ranger Gone Bad, which is the last episode of the season. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. The last 17 episodes deals with this shenanigans.
Yeah.
So they literally went after like four episodes of having the new three as Rangers, shenanigans with Putties and Goldar and stuff. Like,
yeah, it's just like, I don't know.
It's took almost the cheese factor and raised it to a 12.
Yeah, but that's kind of my notes for episode one.
All right. Which brings us to Wild West Rangers Part 2. Once again, everyone's
don't
favorite...
do that accent, dude. Right.
Everyone's favorite segment in my mind. The quick run through. So, we're back in 1880, Angel Grove. Goldar spots Kim and the others. Kim has the others run away, and then Kim morphs into action, and then she does the Putty fight. Kim teleports to the 1880s command center, which... looks awkward with the barn attachments to it.
So bad.
Kim gets power coins from Zordon and Alpha and presents this to the others. They head into, and it's an ambush. White Stranger arrives. Meanwhile, Billy thinks he can get Kim back, but with three communicators. The five morph into action and they dispatch the putties with the help of the White Stranger. Goldar and Cactus hightail it out of town. Cactus remains on Earth and Zed makes him grow. Tommy and Rocky morph into action and it's White Tiger Zord and Red Dragon Thunder Zord time. And then Billy, Adam, and Aisha morph into action and it's White Tiger Megazord time. The Rangers win and then they get Kim back. The Wild West Rangers and the White Stranger toast Kim and Kim's past self arrives to end the episode. So that's part two. And so with that, Ben, when does the greatest Ranger of all time, Adam Park, arrive?
If you include Abraham, which I am.
Which we should.
The first sighting of Adam Park, the greatest of all time, is at about 10 seconds after the opening credits.
So highly acceptable.
Highly acceptable.
Okay. Acceptable.
And my AKA for this part of Wild West Rangers is this is the episode that makes Tommy a liar in Dino Thunder. Starting off, remember how earlier I talked about internal consistency?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And how Samurai had none of it. In Return of the Green Ranger, when the Rangers went back in time, they couldn't morph. But yet Kim can morph in the Wild West.
I think that may have had to do with the fact that A, the command center is there.
Right.
And B, when she does go to the command center, they actually confirm that they do have power coins. We find out that Abraham, William, Miss Alicia, and Rocco do become Rangers.
Right.
At the end, you see Kim's Wild West version arrive at the end of the episode, which leads you to believe that she then becomes that Pink Ranger. So something tells me that her ability to morph was because of the fact that there was going to be Power Rangers coming.
There were going to be Power Rangers anyway.
Yeah. And that the powers existed.
The fact that I was always under the impression that the others gave the power coins back at the end of the episode.
I don't know. Like they never,
because otherwise there would be huge swathes of history books about Power Rangers. It wouldn't, right? A one-off appearance, you can understand them not really showing up in history books. But if a super team were active in the 1880s, they would be recorded somewhere.
Yeah.
There would be in a newspaper or something like that, right? So I was always under the impression they gave the coins back at the end of the episode. But that doesn't explain why they couldn't morph in 17 in colonial area, but they can morph in or Kim can morph in 1880.
Well, they did kind of explain it. In colonial time, there was no command center. The command center doesn't exist.
But there was, because Zordon's been here for 10,000 years.
I can't tell you that. like the fact that they're able to do it in the 1800s, we actually see the command center and stuff like that. It makes it make sense in the Wild West. However, we don't see it in the colonial episodes, which is Return of the Green Ranger. We don't see it in that. So
right.
I don't know why.
Speculating, right? Yeah. You're not using, there's no explanation for it, right? All it would do is take a single line when she's in the command center, right? To be like, oh, at least our protective barriers are down so you could contact us or whatever, right? It just...
Yeah.
Also, it's just... This is what I'm talking about with eternal consistency. Right, it doesn't make sense to have it one way and then go the other way without explaining it, right? So the putties that Kim is fighting when she's morphed literally have guns. Shoot her. My note is the outside of the 1880s command center is just hilarious because it's the round part of the command center with like barns strapped to the side.
Welcome to 1994 CGI work.
Yeah. Right. So now we get to the single biggest paradox in this entire episode. Kim teleports to the command center and interacts with Alpha and Zordon, thereby changing the future. Because by interacting with Alpha and Zordon, they then know Rita's going to show up in 1993. They know Lord Zedd is coming back. They know exactly which five people they're going to select as Rangers. Right?
Yep.
So that alone completely rewrites the first episode of season one. That alone. Then Kim even says she's aware Rita started with the green power coin, which means that completely rewrites the Green with Evil saga, because Zordon should know it's coming. Like, they... Someone get Jen Scott on the case. Go back and beat Kim up so she can't talk. That's a fight I'd like to see, let's be honest. Am I, like, I don't know whether it's just, again, I know this is a show for kids, right? I get it. But I'm just looking at it like, you just completely changed history. This is what... It's not quite as bad as, like, Dino Charge, right? And then we get the oh-so-infamous line that too much pink energy is dangerous. Oh, what a line. But it will... That does come back in future seasons. Like, it comes back in Dino Thunder. It comes back in other seasons. When Kim first presents the power coins to the other Rangers, the images on the coins are backwards because they flip the image. But then they're the other way around the next time you see them, which is quite funny. So, back in 1993, Zordon states, with Tommy in the room, that Rocco, Miss Alicia, Abraham, William were the first people to use the power coins. Right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2004, and there is an episode of Dino Thunder. Where Tommy has been kidnapped by the big bad, and he leaves behind like a video essay of the history of Power Rangers to that point, right?
Ray filler episodes.
Actually, it was more of an anniversary episode than a filler episode.
Oh yeah, no, it definitely was. But like, depending on who you talk to, a lot of people tend to view it as like a filler episode because they didn't really actually do
with Dino Thunder. I love me some Dino Thunder, but there are worse filler episodes than this. Yeah. It was actually the 500th episode of Power Rangers, which is why they did like the retrospective.
And it makes sense to do something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But in that video essay, when talking about Jason, Trini, Zach, Billy, and Kim, Tommy calls them Earth's first Power Rangers.
Well, I mean, if you want to get
into... Even though he knows that to not be true.
Well, if you want to get into technicalities, because Kim altered the timelines, they were the first ones, but then through canon destroying...
No, they weren't. I got two words for you. Shogun Zords. The Shogun Zords existed on Earth from even before the Wild West times, my friend. And Tommy piloted a Shogun Zord. Now,
season 3 is going to be so fun to do.
I'm looking forward to season 3. At least there's some good unmorphed fights with the ninja powers. And as we've gone on to learn, right, in Samurai, there were Power Rangers around in like the 1100s, right? Admittedly, they didn't exist when this was written, so I'll give them a break. But the point is, right, he's wrong. And he knows he's wrong.
But let's be brutally honest here.
It's also the episode that has Haley deliver the line, he's not the oldest living Power Ranger, just the best. And I'm like, that's the only thing you ever say in this entire season, Haley, that I dislike. But now I'm just ranting about Dino Thunder. So then the thing about episode 2 of this two-part, right, is outside of the temporal science problems. Don't worry, we'll get to the big line that you want me to deliver in a few. This two-parter is just filler. It doesn't do anything, right? It's just there to take up space. Right, it's not even like popcorn, which tastes good, right, or smells good. It's just there. Nothing egregiously wrong with it. There's nothing good about it. It just exists, right? And that's proven by the fact that, like, I was watching like the last two-thirds of episode 2 of this thing, and I was just like, I don't care. Right? It just... I don't get it. Right? And then they go on and they form the Thunder Megazord, right? Without Kim somehow. They're just like, yeah, we're just going to completely wash over that.
Well, we have seen them do that a couple times. Like, they've done it without Rocky before. They've done one without Jason before.
I don't think
before.
They've ever formed it without him before, but they've operated it without them before.
Yeah.
Like, once it's together, it can be piloted by as few as, like, two people, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
But, like, I've never seen them put it together without someone to summon the Zord, unless there's been like a special line from like Zordon. It's like, oh, I have altered the blah 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 to allow.
Yeah, and I think it's, even though it's never been said, I think there's always been that understanding that if something like this were to happen to prevent the Zord from being used for evil,
yeah,
it, you know, they have the ability to still command it. Like, Zordon has a way to,
yeah,
shift the energies.
Zanisha, and they have like mild AI, right?
Yeah.
The Zords have a mild AI. And then my final note is, I'm sorry, I just don't care anymore. Can it, it's like, sorry, I just don't care anymore, full stop. Can it be season three yet?
Well, there's one more episode that Brian and I will be doing, which is Blue Ranger Gone Bad.
Yeah.
We have the season two finale.
Yeah.
We have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
Yeah.
And then we go right into season three.
Yeah. I'm quite looking. I actually quite enjoy season three. The episodes aren't that much better than they are here. But like I said, at least there's some fun fights with the ninja powers and stuff. So we'll get to those here soon.
Yep. We're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
We just have to torture ourselves with the movie first.
I'm not going to look at it as torture.
I'm actually, like, I'm not going to lie. I know we're, like, a couple episodes away from that. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually really intrigued because, like, and I'm going to say this obviously on the episode as well, but, you know, I'm going to watch it on DVD in, like, the standard format.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to watch it on Blu-ray to see how really bad. Yeah. The, with the HD, like how badly the CGI translates over.
The movie's really interesting, right? Because it's one of the few things we're covering that's not technically canon.
Yeah, it's not canon at all.
Yeah.
And actually, and this is actually a good talking point. Like, okay, we're recording this episode for February 24th. We made it known that we record episodes out of order and stuff like that. You know, Disney Plus in Canada actually has Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, and Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, on the Disney Plus service to watch up in Canada. And people are going, oh, well, that's, and Disney is going to be able to put like the other seasons and blah, blah, blah. No, they can't.
No.
Because when Disney got Fox, they got those two movies.
Yeah.
Everything else belongs to Hasbro, because when Disney sold Power Rangers back to Saban, that even included all of the library of the Disney era.
Yeah.
So that belongs, and even actually the stuff even before that. So all of that stuff got sent back to Saban, who then sold it to Hasbro. So yeah, don't be surprised if you see those two movies on Disney Plus, but you're not going to see anything else Power Rangers on there.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. This whole... what's the word I'm looking for? Debacle about the future of where Power Rangers is going to end up is really getting on my nerves at this point. But like, people just don't understand how contracts and things work, and it's quite clear. So,
yep. So with that. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Wild West Rangers, part one and two. Ben, Mr. Black Ranger, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Yeah, it's me, your boy, Ben Taylor, the man responsible for the ballpoint pen. And you can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find my various and sundry thoughts on various Power Rangers seasons. I'm documenting as I watch them over at
txhthockey.com/bens-journey.
Can't tell you which one will be the most recent release because we record out of order and I haven't written them all yet. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I can say that right now.
The next one to come out as of recording is Ninja Storm.
But which I'm actually prepping.
Yeah. Whether I've got another one out by the time all these release, who knows? Because I'm having to write about Dino Thunder next, and you've already seen how that goes. And then you can find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And you can find Voices from the Grid on Twitter at
@VFTG_PR.
And that's me.
And you can find me on the Twitters at @TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing as well at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And everything's on the website, txhthockey.com, and for the show specific, /VFTG. And also, if we have any other musings, /MFTG for Musings from the Grid.
Yep.
So with that, Ben, my friend, take us out.
Well, hopefully, us talking about how we record things in many different orders does not cause a time paradox, because everyone's been waiting for me to say about this, about the entire 2-episode arc. That's not how temporal science works. Just not. But that being said, let's wrap up in the way that I wrap up every episode, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace.